We're going to continue the series called The Battle. And then tonight, as I said, is the encounter service where we're going to end our 21-day time. Dutch Sheets will be here. Dutch is a great pastor from Colorado Springs, and he'll be speaking tonight. But today, the message is the principle of the fight. And we're going to talk about literally the fight that's going on when we talk about this battle, all right? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Daniel 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel." Now, this is Gabriel talking. "For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words." Now, before I read this next verse, let me just make a comment. You're going to have to do something with what you're about to read. You're going to read a very clear depiction of the battle that's going on in the heavenlies. It is very, very clear what you're about to read, all right? And this may shake you up some if you haven't been taught this before. Verse 13, watch this. "But the prince," this is Gabriel speaking, now an angel, "but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now he's not talking about a man. He's talking about a fallen angel, a demonic spirit over a city. And behold, Michael," watch this, "one of the chief princes," we know Michael's an angel, but Gabriel calls him a prince, a good angel, obviously, and a fallen angel, both princes, though. "One of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there," now watch this, "with the kings of Persia." Kings, plural. There was only one king of Persia, so he's not talking about a man. He talks about a prince and then kings. And then look at verse 20. "Then he said, 'Do you know why I've come to you? And now I must return to fight.'" This is an angel speaking. He's not talking about fighting with a man. "To fight with the prince of Persia. And when I've gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." Another one is going to come and fight with me too. Verse 21. "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael." Now watch this. This is a great statement. "Your prince." Wow. Isn't that good? Amen. He's talking to Daniel here and he says, "I'm fighting these guys and I've got to have help. And Michael came and helped me and I got to go back and fight them some more. And no one really helps me against these guys except your prince, your angel." Man, it's just too bad Michael's retired. You think Michael still answers prayer? Sure he does. You think Michael is still fighting for us? Yes, certainly he is. There are still demons and there are still angels. And there's a war going on in the heavenlies. And this graphically depicts that war. This tells us that here Daniel is praying. He's doing his part on earth. And yet the angels are fighting with princes over areas to get the answer through to the people. You understand what I'm saying? There's a war going on. Ephesians that we'll read in just a moment. Matter of fact, I'll just go and read it. Just stay where you are. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Do you know what a principality is? It is a prince over a region. That's what the word, the definition, go to any dictionary. It'll tell you a principality is a prince who has authority over a city or a region. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Here's the New Testament confirming what we just read in the Old Testament, telling us there's a war going on in the air. There's a war going on in the heavenlies. It's real. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. We are wrestling against princes over regions. See, a principality, again, is a prince over a region or a city. A municipality is a governing body over a city or a region. So a principality is a prince. And he said, we're wrestling over there. There are princes over cities. Think about this. Have you ever driven into a city and felt evil? Certainly. And if you stay there very long, you'll know what it is. And Satan takes advantage of these things. Did you know where the suicide capital of America is? Seattle. Seattle rains, 300 days a year. And there's more suicide in the city of Seattle than any other city in America. Why? Not just because it rains, but because the enemy says, let's take advantage of it and let's put a prince there over that city of depression. He does this. When I got sick, it was when I was speaking in Cleveland, Tennessee, I told you. When I drove into the city limits is when I started feeling the pain. I understand that there was something physical that was wrong. I'm simply telling you that demonic spirits take advantage of the physical. And there is a real war going on. I told this yesterday in the 4:30 service. And one of our members came to me in the guest central afterwards and said to me, I wish I'd known you were going there because I was raised there and they're known for stomach problems in that city. He said, I was there 1 week before you were there visiting my relatives and I had to be hospitalized for stomach problems. He said, I wish I had known you were going there. I said, I wish I had known, wish you'd known, you'd known too. I wish you'd told me how to, you know, sent Brady. Anyway. Anyway, there's a war going on, and there's absolutely no doubt. So how are you going to win this battle? Let me tell you three things, all right? Number one, recognize that you are in the battle. See, there's a lot of believers that want to make believe there's not a battle. And they want to ignore the battle, hoping it'll go away. It's not going to go away if you ignore it. It's not going to happen. The verse we just read says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. A lot of believers have stopped with this, for we do not wrestle. We just don't wrestle. No, we do wrestle. There's a war. You know, I was reading in Jude this morning, and you know what it says? It says when Michael, this angel, was contending with Satan for the body of Moses. There's a war going on, and it's like we just want to stick our head in the sand and hope it disappears. It's not going to disappear. And if you don't show up for the fight, you're going to lose. That's just the truth of it. You are in a warfare going on all the time. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You have been enlisted as a soldier and you're engaged in warfare. In the natural, the best advice is to walk away from a fight. That's great advice in the natural. It will not work in the spiritual. Because you are in a fight, and you're in a fight with a bully. You are in a fight with someone that doesn't play fair, that will sneak up from behind you and kill you if he can. Let me tell you just a little bit about your enemy. Just a little bit about him. He's the meanest, cruelest, most violent, most vicious, most hateful person who's ever existed. He's a kidnapper. He's a rapist. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. He kidnaps children and abuses them. Let me say it this way. He commits every violent crime. Every violent crime that you've ever seen depicted on television, Satan was behind it. Every one of them. He kidnaps children. He rapes women. He steals from the elderly. And he murders the innocent. He's worse than Hitler. As a matter of fact, he gave Hitler the plan. Now, let me tell you something else about him. And he hates you. Isn't it great to come to church and get encouraged? Hear an encouraging word? Well, that's the bad news, but it's true. That's the bad news. So, number one is bad news, really. Number one, recognize that you're in the battle. Okay, here's number two. This is the good news. Recognize who is in the battle with you. Here's the good news. See, Satan doesn't play by the rules. He's a bully. You ever heard of a bully or ever met a bully? Okay, he's a bully. Now, and you've probably seen at some point or another a show or something like this where the bully comes up and he's about to pick on the little kid and he's got him by the coat and if you don't do that, all of a sudden he stops, you know, and his eyes get big and he kind of, you know, straightens his coat out. Hey, have a good day. And he walks away and the little kid's thinking, you know, hey, bully, I finally backed the bully down. But what the kid doesn't know is his big brother just came behind him. Okay, listen to me. We got a great big brother. And Satan is so scared of our big brother. The choice is, your choice is, are you going to walk with big brother or not? Are you going to try to fight this battle on your own? See, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, I hope you read this some point, Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Guess who was in there with him? The king said to him, was your God able to save you from the mouth of the lions? Here's what Daniel's reply was. My God sent his angel who closed the mouth of the lions. His angel, probably referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The great thing is not that the messenger, whether it was Jesus or Gabriel, shut the mouth of the lions. The great thing was he wasn't there alone. Someone was with him in the lion's den. And the same thing with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, again that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into a fire. Watch this, Daniel 3:24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose," not bound, "loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." It's pretty good news there. And your choice is whether you're going to walk with him or not, because if you'll walk with Big Brother, listen, it is not hard for him to take care of Satan. Satan is not a problem for him. The Bible says that he can cast Satan out with a word. Just a word. Matter of fact, it also says that he can destroy his enemies with his breath. Psalm says, you destroy your enemies with a blast from your nostrils. Let me say it another way. God can blow his nose and get rid of Satan. He can also do it with his finger. Let me just read you this scripture. Luke 11, verse 20. If I cast out demons with the finger of God. Listen, Satan is not a problem for God. God can take care of him. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. So there is a fight, but it says you can fight the good fight of faith. All right, well, what's the difference between a good fight and a bad fight? All right, take it from someone who has some experience in this area. All right, let me tell you what the difference between a good fight and a bad fight is. It's real simple. A good fight is one you win. That's a good fight. A bad fight is one you lose. And I had more bad fights than good fights. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. I got beat up so bad many, many times. I got beat up one time so bad. The worst beating I ever got, it was 5-2. Those were the toughest two guys I've ever met in my life. I mean, they were tough. Okay, listen to me. You and Jesus are the toughest two guys. But you have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice if you're going to walk with him. Well, if he's in the fight with you, then what's your part? Well, here's number three. Put on your armor. Put on your armor. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me ask you something. Why would God tell you to put on armor if you don't need it? You need it. The devotional went through the seven pieces of armor. And I hope you went through the devotional. And if you got hung up, just keep going. Just because this is the 21st day, say, well, I got hung up and I got busy and I got out of town and the kids got sick and I didn't finish your devotional. Well, you got more days, okay? You're okay. You can keep doing it. But it goes through and details each piece of armor. I can give them to you in a one-word definition. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, scripture, and prayer. That's the seven pieces of armor. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, scripture, and prayer. All right? Now, here's what I want to tell you when we talk about the armor of God. How do you put it on? I mean, it says put on the armor of God. Well, how do you put it on? Debbie and I were having lunch, and I run my message by her every week, and we talk about things. That's why they're so good, because she helps me a lot. So we're going over the message. So I said to her, you know, the Bible says put on the armor, but it really doesn't tell you how to put it on. So how do you put it on? So she thought for a minute, and then she said, pray and obey. And I said, that's right. She said, you mean I got it right? I said, yeah, I guess 26 years of preaching you is finally paying off. But I'm joking. Yeah, that's right. Pray and obey. It's that simple. Do you understand the Christian life boils down to that? It really does. Hear God and do what He says. It's that simple. We are in a battle. That's what we're talking about. The only way you're going to win this battle, it's the only way you're going to win this battle, is to go meet with the captain of the army and do what he says. That's it. And you've got to do it every day. Every day, because you're in this battle. The first principle was the principle of the first, are starting your day, starting your week, starting everything you do with God. You choose every day who you're going to walk with that day. And it's who you put first in your life that day. So that day, here you are, when you walk out your door, there's the enemy. He's going to be sitting there right there waiting for you when you walk out the door. And you decide, do you want to walk out alone or do you want to walk out with Jesus? Every day. It's that important. I want you to know that. Now, we're about to get to 2 Samuel 5, but let me read you a few scriptures first. Who was, if you had to look at one of the kings of Israel in the Old Testament and say, this is probably the greatest warrior of all the kings, who would you say that would be? David, no doubt. Well, what made David a great warrior? We're talking about the battle. So what made David such a great warrior? All right, you can already turn to 2 Samuel 5, but let me read a few verses before we get there. 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. 2 Samuel 2, 1. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. Now, look at 2 Samuel 5, verse 18. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. I want you to notice what valley they deployed in. What valley was it? Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hand. And the Lord did. Just a few verses after that, though, notice what happened. Verse 22. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in a different valley because they were smart. Is that what it says? No. In the same valley. How stupid can you get? I just want you to notice. I understand that the enemy is strong, but he's stupid. He really is. And since they're deployed in the same valley, obviously David doesn't need to ask God again. Because he already knows how to do this. Well, David didn't think so. Look at verse 23. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. All right, so here's something I want you to notice. What made David a great warrior? Because he kept inquiring of the Lord. Even when he thought he knew how to do it. Even when the enemy came against him in the very same way that he'd come before, he still inquired of the Lord. This is extremely important because sometimes we think, well, you know, God wants me to grow up and quit relying on Him so much. That is not true. God wants you to rely on Him the rest of your life. And the enemy says to us, well, you know, you ought to just get smarter and you ought to get stronger and you know how to be a husband. You don't need to keep asking God to help you be a husband. You know how to be a husband, been doing it 25 years now, and you know how to be a father and you know how to do this. No, you don't know how to do it and you don't know how to help your kids unless you ask God. Every day you go in a room and you say, God, I need your help to be a mother, to be a wife, to work at this place of employment. I need your help. I need your wisdom. Every time you meet with God, let me tell you what you receive. Wisdom and strength. Wisdom and strength every time. Let me show you a couple scriptures here. 2 Samuel 22, verse 40. You have armed me with strength for the battle. And Job 12, 13. With him are wisdom and strength. Every time I go in that room and meet with God, it's like working out with weights. If you go in a room on a regular basis and work out with weights, you're going to get physically stronger. If you go and meet with God every day, you're going to get spiritually stronger. You're going to get strength and you're going to get wisdom. God's going to tell you how to do it. And what He tells you might not be the way you thought you were to do it. Notice when He told David here, David went and inquired of the Lord. He said, don't do it the same way you did it last time. And then this is what he said. Think about what he said, by the way. He said, go around by the mulberry trees and think about what he said. And when you hear marching in the tops of the trees, men don't march in tops of trees, but angels do. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a battle in the heavenlies that we can't see in the natural. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but did you ever think about how David explained this to his men? We're going to go around by the mulberry trees, and we're going to hear marching in the tufts of the trees. What? Where are we going to hear marching? In the tops of the trees, dismissed. And of course, the guys have been with him a while. They just knew to trust him. So they're probably explaining to the new guy, I know it sounds weird, but if we just do it, it always works. What was David's key to success? He inquired of the Lord. Okay, so when I see this in Scripture, I say to the Lord, okay, Lord, this is great. You're leading me here as I plan this message. You're showing me how we do this. Put on the armor. How do you put on the armor? You inquire of God. Okay, God, I need to know, what does the word inquire mean? And here's what the Lord said to me. It means ask. That's it? Yeah, that's it. Then David asked God what to do, and I told him what to do. Then David asked me again, and I told him again. Then he asked me again, and I told him again. That's it. That is the key. That is how deep the Christian life is. That's it. It doesn't get any deeper than this. You just simply ask God what to do, and then do what He says, and you'll win the battle. If you don't ask God and don't do what He says, you're going to lose. If you ask God and do what He says, you're going to win. It's that simple. Are you catching it? Here's another way you could say it. Quiet time. It really does boil down to that. Will you have a time where you meet with God every day? Again, the seven pieces of armor, and they're explained very, very well in the devotional. Very, very well. But every one of them are a result of spending time with God. Spend time with God, peace. Spend time with God, you understand righteousness. Spend time in His Word, you understand His truth. You understand the Scripture. You walk out of there with, and you spend time in prayer, and you build yourself up in your most holy faith by spending time with God. That's what it is. Ask and do it. I'm still doing this. To this day, as a pastor of a church, I still do this. It's the secret to living the Christian life. It's the secret to everything I do. Church continues to grow, continues to get larger. I still walk in that room every morning and say, God, I don't know how to do this. You know what God says? I do. I say, that's a good thing. At least one of us knows what we're doing here. Just a while back, an area that I have direct responsibility for here at the church was a mess. It was a mess because I didn't know what I was doing. And I walked in the room and I said, God, you have to help because I don't know how to do this. And He said, well, I do. Now, let me tell you what you do. Do this, 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 and this. I went back, did this, this, and this, and everything, just like a 180. Everything just turns around. And everybody thought I was smart. But I met with, you know, I told you the enemy. I said, let me tell you who the enemy is, the cruelest. You remember that? Let me tell you who he is. He's the most merciful, most compassionate, kindest, most wonderful, and most powerful, strongest, wisest person who's ever lived. And He's inviting you to meet with Him every day. There's no doubt you're in the battle. There's no doubt you're in a war. You are in a warfare, and you're in a war with someone that hates you and wants to kill you. He wants to make your life hell on this earth, and He wants to take you to hell to live with Him forever when you die. So He hates you. You're in a war. There's no doubt you're in a war. The question is, will you meet with the captain of the army of the Lord and get your directions and your orders every day? And will you follow those orders? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.